Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Dusty from Cornvale Church and Pastor Chris from First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about preparing for Easter. It's Holy Week. It is the Wednesday before Easter. And so we just thought it'd be good to talk about how we as Christians in today's fast-paced world can actually slow down and prepare ourselves for, some might say it's the most important weekend for the Christian.
Yeah, and important indeed, because you get to celebrate the resurrection, and Christianity without the resurrection is lifeless and hopeless. And makes it just like any other religion. And so the uniqueness behind our Christian faith and the distinctive of the resurrection is huge. But what's interesting about it is the resurrection comes at the end of the gospel, right? So like even in Matthew 28, for example, it's chapter 28 where you get to the resurrection. So there's all kinds of stuff that's happening up until then. And I think sometimes we dive into Easter weekend with a little bit maybe better attire for church and maybe a Sunday brunch a little bit more planned out, but we don't enter in with thoughtfulness and preparation. So, Chris, what are your thoughts on just preparing for the resurrection specifically?
Well, one of the things that we're doing at First City is since Lent started, each Sunday prior to Easter, we are doing a corporate confession of sin with an assurance of pardon. And the way that we've been framing that out, and we even talked about this, I've done some posts on, well, we use Church Community Builder, not the city, but put some posts on just that this is a time where we purposefully sort of reflect on our need for Christ, our need for salvation. And not that we grovel and kind of, you know, walk with our head down. It's like, oh, I'm such a sinner, but just it's a time of reflection. And so My encouragement and my thought is, man, celebrating the resurrection comes into such sharper focus when we have spent a time just meditating on our need for salvation and to be delivered from sin. And then when we look at how the resurrection signals that, man, Christ's sacrifice paid our sin. It was victorious. God raised him from the dead. It signifies that all of the promises in the gospel are true. That becomes all the more sweeter when we've spent time reflecting on our deep need for that. And so we start to see just how great Christ's sacrifice is. So that's how one of the ways, I should say, that we're trying to prep for Easter by really meditating on our need for the resurrection.
Yeah, I think it's good, too, to realize that you can't, I've often said that you can't have Easter without Good Friday, right? And so what you're celebrating in the resurrection is the fact that a Savior rose, which means that a Savior died, and which means after he died and before he rose, he was dead and in a grave for 3 days. And so when you let that start to sink in theologically, it just makes Easter and Sunday morning so much more rich and full, because you have so much more to celebrate just knowing that that is the Savior that you're worshiping. And so I'd encourage you to attend to a Good Friday service, especially if you're a listener in a different context, not here at Cormdale or First City. Get to a Good Friday service, just because those services are usually contemplative. They talk about the death of Christ. They're usually dark in nature, and they really help you realize, oh man, this is heavy. You know, how heavy is the night? Things like that.
Yeah, I didn't grow up in a church tradition that celebrated Good Friday, and so my first Good Friday service was actually last year at Cormdale, and it was, I didn't really know what to expect at first because I had not been to one, but it really did set the contrast for Easter Sunday very well, and it felt just even my heart and sort of what was set as far as preparation for that big celebration at the Holland really came into contrast. And so to echo what you said, Dusty, encourage you to attend a Good Friday service. If this is something especially new, if you're not used to this kind of posture towards Easter where you prepare and not just, hey, I'm inviting my family and we're going to have, you know, ham and potatoes after the service, but really engage what the church has traditionally seen as a particular important time of the year. A Good Friday service is a very tangible way to sort of reorient yourself to that.
Preparation for Easter is Lent. Like, it's the season that we're in. And Dusty, even what you said, like, Good Friday is like the hinge point, you know, of all the season of Lent and heading into Easter. Because Easter is one of those times that you know it's coming. Like, you know, Sundays are coming. You know, you know that. But even since I was a child, there's this anticipation of, man, there's just something significant about getting up on Easter morning and going to church. And every Sunday we get up and go to church, we're re-celebrating the resurrection. I mean, we celebrate, we go to church on Sunday because Christ rose on Sunday. And so it's a powerful day, and using things like 40 days of Lent, using nights like Good Friday night and even contemplating those things on Saturday helps build that anticipation up that sometimes just gets lost in the everyday rhythm of life.
So have you guys experienced any minimizing or pushback or asking why make such a big deal about Lent or have a Good Friday service or even doing Ash Wednesday, like a traditional Ash Wednesday? Because again, I sort of grew up in, you know, an evangelical culture that in many ways rebelled against it. That's Catholic, or that's, you know,
we reformed against that for a reason.
Yeah. So I wonder if you guys have experienced that, and not in like, hey, I want to debate and argue, but how do you address that where someone has a question about it or maybe doesn't see the significance and you want to just pastorally impress upon them, no, this actually is an important rhythm that you should adopt. Or would be good to adopt because we don't want to do too many shoulds.
Yeah, I think it's, I remember having a conversation one time about that, Chris, about Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and things like that. And I remember in the moment thinking, have you ever walked into a movie like halfway through and you're frustrated and you're trying to figure it all out? I remember Bob even using this example in his sermon a couple weeks ago, or maybe like a month ago, but, and that's how I feel about Easter sometimes. Like, even to what I said earlier, like it's the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, but previous to all of that, you have a Savior being wrongly accused, handed over to Pilate. You have this intimate meal with the disciples up in the upper room. Prior to that, you have, you know, just all of that stuff is happening and has happened. And so, therefore, to celebrate it holistically and to really get your head around what's actually going on in Easter, you have to understand what comes before. So,
And you're getting caught up in the gospel story. You're getting caught up in the gospel narrative. If you're just bouncing between chapters, say you just celebrate Christmas and Easter, you miss tons of stuff about the gospel story, about the life of Jesus and how we're wrapped up in that. And so if you're just bouncing from main holiday to main holiday, you're missing out on so much more of the story that just brings a richness to what we believe and why we believe it and why we celebrate Christmas and Easter.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't it, in some ways, by doing it that way, celebrating more than just, you know, Christmas and Easter, pulls away from some of the consumerism? Totally. So it's not just the, you know, Easter and Easter bunny and Easter egg hunts and get a new Easter outfit and go out to eat and Christmas and all that consumerism and commercialism, where this really grounds us into the meaning and the depth and the richness of it. And so practicing it in that kind of the holistic manner, as you were saying, helps us to ground us to kind of pull back, because I know I can kind of be cynical, especially about Easter. Again, this is some of the hangover of my upbringing, but I was in a church for a while that did basically, well, Easter, that's pagan. Mm-hmm. And then they would, you know, go through all the reasons and even the word Easter and all this. And
they'd have resurrection eggs.
They wouldn't do any Easter egg hunts at all. But so this has been helpful for me in the past several years. and then coming to Coramdale and then now in First City and how we're trying to do this. So I would even say, as someone that's relatively new in the practice and took a while to be formed, that if you're still a little skeptical, just give it a shot and see what it does. I think you will find a richness that is added to the rhythm of your Christian life and your worship that will add depth and really meaning, and you will be surprised. And I think that the meaning of Christ's sacrifice will become more vivid as well.
Yeah, and so if you go to Coramdale, we just handed out an Easter book of daily liturgy, which has 7 weeks of Easter liturgy in it. And so the church calendar, actually, the Easter season is a 7-week-long observance, not just one day. You know, you go to Walgreens, and the day after Easter, it's like swimming pools and arm floaties. Like, they've moved on. But the church observes the resurrection of Jesus for 7 weeks before it even gets to the season of Pentecost, which is an even longer season. And so the fact that for centuries the church has observed these seasons much slower than what we're used to can teach us a lot about the significance of what we hold to as Christians.
Yeah, which is totally interesting to think about, even just like a Good Friday service or an Ash Wednesday service. Those are things that I would have to actually go to, and that's going to mess with my normal life, which is just pretty fast-paced and clipping along, and so Easter's coming, that's great, but it'll be over too. So there is a contemplative part of this that just helps you slow down. And Chris, something you mentioned earlier made me think about how the reason I love Good Friday is there's really actually nothing to love about it. Like in its context, right? Like it's actually pretty sobering. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is, especially in the gathering with the church, is to be able to look at the same people on Sunday and anticipate, man, I can't wait to be back in this room or back with you people celebrating what the Lord has done for us on our behalf. And there's a weightiness to that, but also an anticipation that just really sets you up for, I think, like just a proper understanding of what's going on in the Gospels, you know? So that's what's great about preparing for Easter.
Dusty, do you guys do Easter baskets for your kids?
We don't. We also don't do stockings at Christmas time.
Wow.
So, man.
Yeah.
You're just gypping your kid. What? Well, no stockings?
Dude, listen. I got a lot of kids.
That's true. It's a lot
of
socks.
A lot of budget. It's a lot of socks. I can't even fold the socks we got. I mean, baskets. I mean, sure. But, I mean, Halloween. We got Halloween buckets. Does that help?
You cannot use your Halloween buckets.
Mike, let's fight about this. Do you do Easter baskets?
We're actually just going to start it this year.
I'm going to need some help theologically here on the Easter basket. Can you help me out?
So I have no theological.
Jesus rose from the dead. Hide the eggs.
Yeah. Hide the eggs.
It's simple.
I can hide the eggs.
Here's what we're doing.
A bunch of candy and some fake
grass. We're doing a
book
and a candy.
All right.
A candy. A piece of candy. That's it.
A piece of candy.
Or
I don't even own a gun. Wayne's World reference.
Wow.
That's all we're doing.
Okay.
Because I was given Easter baskets when I was a kid.
Oh, I did too.
And I look back on it now and go, why? There's like
I hated those black licorice jelly beans. Get those out of there.
Starburst jelly beans. Oh, that's the way to
there
go.
You go.
Starburst jelly beans. Throw out the lime, though.
Don't try to be
Chris,
so
Chris, you going bow tie or normal tie on Easter?
So Mindy and I went out to the outlets to go. Mm. I was going to buy a new sport coat, and I just really didn't find anything I loved. So I don't know if I'm going to do that. I might go look for a new tie or something. I don't know.
See, that's what Easter does to you. It makes you think about, like, I was able to, 2 weeks ago, take one of my daughters on a daddy date and get her an Easter dress. And, you know, she's really excited about that. And then took the other daughter out on some alone time and did the same thing. And, you know, Easter is actually a big deal, right? And it's even in your kids to be a big deal. And so you got to contextualize that for why, you know, like give them the why behind that and be as helpful as you can parentally.
What are you wearing for Easter, Dusty?
Well, I think, you know, I'm probably going to go sport coat. But see, I'm not a bow tie guy.
You can't be with the beard.
I feel like maybe this is a separate podcast here, but even with a beard, you can pull it off. But I feel like the bow tie takes a certain male physique.
Skinny.
I feel like, yeah. Yeah, like skinny, tall, and slender.
Not that's kinda, husky. Husky thinking, guys can't wear bow ties.
I mean, you can try, but nobody's going to say, dude, I love your tie. They're going to be like, oh, nice.
I'm going gray slacks, gray vest, white shirt, yellow Whoa. Tie.
This is very planned out.
Wait, gotta prepare for Easter, guys.
Man.
What shoes? Are you going to wear the Converse?
I'm wearing the brown shoes that I believe your wife found for me.
Yeah, those were nice. Hey,
Your wife shops for my shoes. You,
yeah, we got to help people out. are the keys still going to be on the belt, or like, are you going to dress it up a little bit?
I'll put the keys away.
Whoa. Whoa, it's a big day.
No.
Yeah. No jingle jingle?
No jingle jangle. We'll save that for Christmas time. All right, well, we hope and pray that as you prepare for Easter this week, you do so with thoughtfulness and reflection and worship, because that's what this weekend's all about. It's worshiping Jesus as King. We hope that you enjoy this podcast, and please interact with us on social media as you listen and suggest topics to us. And we hope that you'll join us again next week on the Wednesday Conversation. And we hope that you'll join us again next week on the Wednesday Conversation, where we're broadcasting live from Taco John's on 120th and L.
Day to
That was funny.